Hello there. This is study number 3 of our New Life Today series, and we're entitling it The Words of Life. At the end of study 2, we quoted some words that Jesus used in John chapter 3 when he said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And you made that prayer to ask Jesus to come into your life so that you would be born again. And you are born again of the Spirit of God. And that which is born in you is incorruptible and will never pass away. In John chapter 1, verses 11 and 12, Jesus said, "He came unto his own," that is the Jews, "but his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to be children of God." And so, when you were born again, you became a child of God. And so now, in this study, we want to look and see what actually happens when you are born again. The first thing we have to understand is that this new birth has taken place in your spirit. In your spirit, you have new life, the life of Jesus. We read that we have become righteous in our spirit, and the life of Jesus has come into our spirits. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, we read, "He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus." Now, what does this term righteous mean? It means this, that Jesus lived on this earth a life as the Son of God, but he lived that life without calling upon his divinity. He lived as a man, just like you and me, but he lived a perfect life, perfectly submitted to God, to the will of God, fulfilling the first commandment and the scriptures, fulfilling the law, and without any sin. None of us could do that. This was the life he lived, and that is righteous living. That is righteousness. A human being living a perfectly acceptable life before God and pleasing to God. When you receive Jesus into your spirit by the Holy Spirit, God credits you with that righteousness of Jesus. In God's sight, you are as righteous as Jesus. You have his righteousness. You are totally accepted before God in love. Now, isn't that an amazing thing? But that is absolutely true. The Word of God declares it. But we have a problem here. We do not know what's happened in our spirits by our feelings. We can't necessarily feel all these things. We can't feel righteous. We might have feelings, and we may have feelings of peace and of joy. Praise God for them. There it can be an abundance. Or we may not have such feelings. Or they may come and go. In any case, they aren't a true indication of what's happened. The only true indication of what has happened to you when you were born again is what God has said has happened. And the only way we know what God has said has happened is by looking into his word, where he tells us what has happened. So, let us just have a look into the Word of God and see some of the things that have happened in you when you were born again. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, we read, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." So there is one thing we can see. We become sons of God. Now the scripture tells us in Romans 8:17, we are co-heirs with Christ. sons of God and co-heirs with Christ of his kingdom. Glorious. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, we read, "We've been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of his love." We're in a new kingdom, and Jesus is our king. Satan is not our Lord anymore. Jesus is our king, and we're in his kingdom. What a wonderful king to have. And we need to explore the wonders of this new kingdom and the glories of our king. In Romans 8, verse 37, we read, "We are more than conquerors through him that loved us." This means, as we're going to learn, that for every situation we face, Jesus is greater than that situation, and we can learn how to be that conqueror that he is in that situation. In Colossians 3, verse 3, we read, "When Christ, who is our life, appears, you also will appear with him in glory." We can now say, Jesus is my life. My real life is Jesus. And that's wonderful. Your real life isn't you anymore. Your real life is Jesus. That perfect, wonderful life of Jesus. And we've got a taste here in that scripture that when Jesus comes back, we are going to see him in all his glory, and we're going to share that glory. Praise his name. In Colossians chapter 2 and verse 10, in my translation, it says, "We are complete in him." We're complete in Christ. This means we are sufficient for every need that we ever come across. For another verse, I'd like to quote from the Old Testament, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, because this verse has been a key factor in my own life. And it says, "In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths." We have the ability now to be directed according to the will and love of God. We have a new life. We have a provision for every situation. We have provision for a future. Now, there are a lot more scriptures that tell us more of what we are in Christ. And you ought to get to know them, because they strengthen and encourage you, build you up in your new kingdom. Now, as we move forward in this Christian life, in this walk with Jesus, we find that we come against the enemy, Satan, as we've never done before. Now that we're out of his kingdom, he doesn't like it. He wants to try and prove to us, like he did to Adam, that God's wrong, that nothing's happened. So, what does he do? He comes along with his lies and points at our failures. He points at the things in our bodies and in our minds and in our emotions that are wrong. He says, "Look at that unkind thought you've just thought. Look at that unkind thing you've just done to that person. And you call yourself born again. You're supposed to be a new creature. Not supposed to do any wrong anymore. Look how angry you got over that situation. You're not supposed to be angry. And anyway, look how depressed you are. You're not supposed to be depressed. Call yourself a Christian. Call yourself born again. Look at all these horrible things in your life. And you haven't got any control over them." And of course, we look around, and as we see them, we can't deny them. They're there. And we listen to Satan if we're not careful. And we think, oh, perhaps he's right. Yes, he must be right. Oh, I'm not born again at all. Perhaps the Christian life doesn't work. And we get full of self-pity and worry. And unless we know how to deal with these accusations of Satan's, he can tie us in knots. He can't remove our salvation, but he can stop it becoming effective in our lives. He shoots at us what Paul calls fiery darts. And there are four common ones. There's the fiery dart of pride, the dart of self-pity, the dart of fear, and the dart of doubt. Pride doesn't appear as pride, by the way. It usually appears as division and dissension. Self-pity doesn't appear as self-pity, it appears as depression. Fear doesn't appear as fear, it appears as anxiety. And doubt doesn't appear as doubt, it appears as rebellion sometimes, and uncertainty. Now, how do we cope with these? We must know how to cope with them, and we have to do two things. First of all, if we have sinned, and the Bible doesn't say that we will never sin. It says that once we're born again, we're not going to live sinless lives, but it makes provision for any sin that we do commit. And it says that sin will not have dominion over us. Before we're born again, sin has dominion over us. Satan can do what he likes with us, but now he can't. But if there does come sin into our lives, we can confess it and be free of it. It's not that we are sinless, but that we do sin less. And if sin is pointed out in your life and you become aware of it, either by the accusing of Satan or the work of the Holy Spirit, you can claim a glorious provision to be free from the dominion of that sin over you. For in 1 John chapter 1 verse 9 it says, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, if there's sin in your life, have it out. Confess it. Claim the blood of the Lord Jesus to cleanse you. And then when you've confessed it, turn from it. Turn your back on it. And say to the Lord, Lord, I want to be free of that thing. You've cleansed me, you've forgiven me, and now, Lord, give me the strength to walk away from it. Sometimes these things don't leave us straight away like that. But if we persist and keep our face looking to Jesus, and we learn how to use that scripture, he will give us the victory and the strength to overcome that sin and that weakness. And so we go on from strength to strength. The second thing we have to do, and this is very important to learn as a way of life, is seen in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16, where Paul says, above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the devil. There is provision in Scripture so that you can quench and shield yourself from any dart that Satan can fire at you. So what is this shield of faith? It's most important to know what it is and to know how to use it. Now, the shield of faith is the word of God that declares the truth of what you are in your spirit against the lie that Satan's trying to put against you. Let me give you an illustration. He'll bring a thought into your mind, tell you, you're no good, you're a failure. And you can believe that if you're not careful. But using the shield of faith, you can say, no, the word of God says, I'm more than a conqueror through him that loved me. And God says he loves me. God says I share and now possess the life of Jesus. I'm no failure. I'm loved. I'm the apple of God's eye. I'm no failure, Satan. I'm a conqueror. I'm loved and I'm complete in Jesus. When you quote these scriptures at Satan, that dart can't get any hold on you. It falls to the ground. Someone might come along and say, oh, you can't live the Christian life. You can't make it. You'll never be a success. You can quote that scripture. Satan, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And you can quote it again and again and again. And then Satan will realize that you're using the master tool, the master weapon against him, and he withdraws. Now, Jesus did this. When Satan came against him with all his accusations, Jesus said, it is written, it is written, it is written. And if Adam had done that and said, it is written, God has said we must not touch that tree, the world would have been a different place. So you make sure you know how to use the shield of faith. And on that list of scriptures that I mentioned, I quote this and I give examples of scriptures you can use like a shield. Now, a third very important thing is that you must realize a lot depends upon what comes out of your mouth. A lot of what happens to you, the sort of person you become, depends on the sort of things that come off your tongue and out of your mouth. Scripture says we are trapped by the words of our mouth. The book of James, we are told, the tongue is like a rudder that guides the whole ship. And we know medically that what you speak has an effect on your nervous system. If you speak harsh, unkind thoughts, it raises your blood pressure and it affects your nervous system. You speak loving, kind thoughts and it brings peace to your nervous system. If you start speaking negatives with your mouth, I'm no good, I'm a failure, I can't make the grade, life is difficult for me, I feel so tired, I'm so low, oh, everybody's so unkind to me. If all these negatives come off your tongue readily, and especially if they come off often, what happens? You commit your life to the level of those negatives. We have to learn to speak out the truth of what we are according to the Word of God, not according to our feelings or our circumstances. I'm a child of God. Jesus is alive within me. I am saved. I am complete in Him. I have power for every day. I have power over these circumstances in Christ. I have the righteousness of God. Jesus is my life, and I am more than a conqueror through Him. We have to learn to speak the truth and let our own ears hear it come out of our own tongue. This is most important. Listen carefully to your language and see when you speak negative, sad, and unkind things. Watch yourself. Turn them into positives. And in this way, your faith in the Christian life and in your Christian experience will be strengthened, and you will grow and you will be a blessing to others. When you speak out negatives or unkind things, it harms the people that listen. When you speak out the Word of God, you speak out the truth of the Word of God. It not only strengthens you, it glorifies Jesus, and it strengthens and blesses the people that are around you. Now there's a verse in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, and it says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. In other words, Scripture puts this confession with the mouth even before believing. And what it means is that from your mouth, out of your mouth, there comes confirmation of what you're believing, and this in turn establishes what you are believing in your heart. Now, what are one of the results of confessing the Word of God? Confessing the truth of what you are, who you are in Christ. This is one of the ways in which you begin to manifest the love life of Jesus. As Jesus says in John 13, verse 34 and 35, this is the new commandment that I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. And by this shall all men know that you are my disciple. So, as you begin to speak out the words of God, you'll find they are love words. You'll find they are kind words. They are strengthening words. And you'll find that they are encouraging. They're a blessing. And as we said, they manifest in you the love of Jesus, working out in you and blessing others. And Jesus says, he that believeth on me, as the Scripture says, out of his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. And as you live and declare the Scripture and keep your eye on King Jesus, out of you will flow rivers of life. And what will happen? People will come to drink. Needy people will come to drink of the water that's flowing out of your innermost being. But if you think and speak unkindness and negatives, that stream is stopped up. Now, Another important truth that I want to share with you is that of seeking the fellowship of a church that's growing in this sort of love. Get in amongst Christians who are sharing this vital resurrection love life of Jesus. There are churches that are cold and hard and formal, and you won't grow in them. They could do you harm. Seek out a church that's moving in the love of Jesus and where these scriptures are being taught plainly and clearly, and where there are people who will help you, instruct you, love you, and lead you on in this glorious kingdom of the Lord Jesus. Now we're coming to the end of this third study, and I want to ask you a question, or put a question to you. How do you know that you've been born again? Can you give me, would you say, a test to prove that you've really been born again? You might say, yes, I'd like a test to know that I really have been born again. Well, in John 6, verse 38, Jesus says, I have not come to do my will, but the will of my Father that sent me. That is the spirit of Jesus, to do the will of his Father. And so here is the test. When you begin to desire to fulfill the will of God in your life, when something in you wells up and say, oh God, I want my life to unfold according to your will. Jesus, I want you to be working your will out in my life. You can only say that and mean it if Jesus is there to breathe it out through you. You have been born again. And so, constantly be praying that prayer, Jesus, fulfill your will in my life. And then you will find that there's a great confirmation in your spirit that you are a child of God and that you're born again. And you can apply this in every detail. You've got to do some shopping, you've got to buy this, you've got to make that decision or the other decision, be it big or be it small, start with the small ones, and you can say, Jesus, what do you want in this? How do you want me to decide? And he longs to answer that prayer. And as you begin to live along those lines, then your new birth will be shining out through you. And of course, your life becomes balanced and soundly based on the Word of God. Now, before we go on to the next study, I'd like to suggest that you do a bit of homework, as we have suggested in previous studies. Start with reading John's Gospel. Now, you may think, oh, that's a long book, it's a tall order, but it's not very long. Just sit down and read it quietly, just like you'd read an ordinary book. You might read it in one session or two or three, but read it in large chunks, especially with a view to just noting the type of life that Jesus lived. Just get a picture of his life as revealed in the Gospels. And you begin to dawn on you that that wonderful life that you see lived out there in those Gospels is the life that you have inside you. I'd also suggest that you read two of Paul's epistles, the epistle to the Ephesians and Colossians. They're small. Read them through just lightly, several times, then begin to meditate on them. And then you'll begin to see some of the great verses and revelations of God that tell you who you are in Christ. Grasp them, hang on to them, note them down, and begin to study them and meditate on them. Now, in succeeding tapes, we'll learn more and more of what has happened to you because you've been born again, and the impact it's going to have on the rest of your life, upon your soul and upon your body. So God bless you as you meditate in these scriptures. Let us close now in a brief prayer. Father, I thank you for everybody that's listened to this tape. I thank you that you know their hearts. You know what they're thinking. I thank you for the miracle of the new birth that has taken place in them. That new life, that new destiny that is contained within them. And I praise and thank you for all that it means. And now, Father, I ask in the name of Jesus that you will particularly begin to illuminate to them the scriptures, that these dear ones may know from your word who you are, what a glorious God and Savior you have provided in your Son, Jesus Christ, and that their inheritance in him and his inheritance in them. And I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, that they will learn to submit to your Holy Spirit and let him guide them as they pray, guide them through each day, guide them as they read the scriptures and manifest your perfect will in and through them. For the glory of your name, amen.